Well, if you will, open your Bible to 1 Timothy 4 and hold your spot there. We're going to get to that at the very end, and then go with me to Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of youth in the church. 1 Timothy 4 and Luke chapter 2. Today is a very special day for Harpeth Baptist Church. Already we've recognized the seniors who've graduated from high school. We've also recognized the young people who are growing up and moving from one Sunday school group to the next. So with these things on our minds, I thought it appropriate to speak to you today about the importance of youth in the church. I want to begin by giving you a biblical take on youth, that term that we use so much. And then I want to apply biblical youth to our current church. What does it look like in the Bible? And then what should it look like in the church based off what it looks like in the Bible? Not what should it look like in the church based off what it looks like in our culture. That's the idea this morning. There are three things then that I think it's very important that we realize and begin to operate with knowledge of as a church. And those are the three things I want to give you this morning. So your first point is youth in the Bible. The second point is youth in the church. And there I'm going to give you three subpoints, which are number one, the salvation of young people is a great opportunity. Number two, the biblical education of young people is a responsibility. And then number three, the deployment of youth is an urgency. So I want us to begin this morning by seeing the Bible's use of youth and then focus on our own situation. Let's have prayer and then we'll do that. Father, we're thankful to be gathered together today in a celebratory mood, just to recognize the accomplishments of the young people in our church. And Lord, I realize that some of us are at a time of life or just don't have young people in our homes. And Lord, I pray that even those adults here this morning would see the influence and the impact they have on a young person's life by being a part of this church where there are so many young people. God, I pray that all of us as adults at Harpeth Baptist Church would take seriously the calling that we have, that the older men teach the younger men, that the older ladies teach the younger ladies in the church as instructed to Timothy. Father, it's so important that we see the importance and the necessity of youth in the church. Bless our time together as we consider this from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When the Bible uses the term youth, it's referring to the distinct age in life between childhood and adulthood. Childhood being the time of life in which we are vulnerable and entirely dependent upon others. No wife, your husband is not still at that time of life. He is very dependent upon you, but he is not entirely dependent upon you. After that time, before we are adults, we are what the Bible calls youth. 1 Samuel 17 tells the story of David and Goliath. What is David referred to in that story? He's referred to as a youth. 1 Samuel 17, 42. And when the Philistine looked out, who's the Philistine? Goliath, great big burly man. The whole nation of Israel, their army was kind of standoffish because he was such a giant. When the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Proverbs 5:18 then takes it to another extreme. Proverbs 5:18 says, "Rejoice with the wife of thy youth." So then we kind of see that maybe adulthood comes a little bit later than we think, or maybe that marriage should happen a little sooner than we think in our current culture. We've got this perfect idea that every young person needs to graduate school, then to graduate school again, then get a job and get their whole life in order, and then start thinking about marriage. The problem with that mentality is puberty starts way earlier than that, so they already have these desires. So maybe our marriage should be sooner than what we consider it to be in the church. That's not very popular, but I talk from experience. I got married when I was 19, and I wanted to get married when I was 16, and I didn't, but I wanted to. It's hard, and I don't recommend it, but some of you are mature enough that that would be okay. So we have on one end this kid, David, standing before this giant. He's a youth, and on the other end, we have the wisest man in Scripture besides God and Christ, saying, "Rejoice with the wife of your youth." So we kind of get a range there of what age group we are talking about. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, the preacher says, "To remember your Creator in the days of your youth." So there it is, David standing up before the giant. He's being brave, he's being courageous, but he's a youth. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. This is biblical youth. Then remember your Creator in the day. Be thinking about your eternity. Be thinking about where you came from. Be thinking about how God works in your life. Not when you're an adult, not later, now, in the days of your youth. In the gospel, we encounter a man called the rich young ruler. What does the rich young ruler say that he has done since his youth? He says, I've obeyed all of the commandments since my youth. He goes to Jesus and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. He said, I've obeyed the commandments since my youth. And Jesus said, well, then go sell all you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. Well, I can't do that. So he leaves very discouraged. But we learn then about a youth, that youth is a time begun once cognitive thought, reasoning, memorization, and recall are at our disposal. Then Paul tells Timothy, who he calls a youth, but who is also a pastor in the church, not to let anyone despise his youth. 73 times in 69 verses, the term youth is used in Scripture. I want to look at two instances specifically this morning of a young person's situation. I want to begin in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 41, which is the story of Jesus being left by his family at the temple. Anybody here, your folks ever left you at church? Anybody here, your folks ever left you at the funeral home? I'm the only one. Man, that was a scarred childhood. Chapter 2, verse 41. Mary and Joseph have left Jesus at the temple. They've gone down for that time of year where everybody went down. And they went back home. They thought maybe he was with family. They get a while out of town and realize he's not there. And they have to go back and then they find him in the temple. Let's read this together. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that it must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, God the Son, submitted himself to this time of life, his youth. You know, we think about Jesus going to the cross. Think about Jesus performing the miracles. But the Bible gives us here a very clear picture of his youth, this time, post-childhood, pre-adulthood, where he is going through all of the things that all of us did at that time of our lives as well. He asked questions and listened to the answers here in the temple. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Why is that unique? Because he's 12. He is 12 years old. What do we think a 12-year-old should do? What do they especially think a 12-year-old should do in that setting? You speak when spoken to. You are seen and not heard. These types of things. But what is Jesus doing as a youth? He's right in the middle of the adults at the temple. Let's put it in our context. He's right in the middle of the adults in the church, and he's asking them questions, and he is hearing their answers that he may learn of them. Jesus. Now we know that God knows everything, but here is Jesus, God in the flesh, who went through purposefully this time of his youth that he might have to learn. And how did he learn? He learned by asking questions and hearing the answers. Those around him did not discredit him as a youth. They were astonished with the questions that he came up with, and they were even astonished with some of the answers that he himself gave. Notice verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He affirmed what we must come to realize about youth in the church. Verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? And that's not a question you asked your parents. Your mom and dad find you, you've been lost, and they say, Where have you been? You don't say, Why were you even looking for me? You say, Yes, ma'am. Whatever I need to say there. keep them getting smacked. But Jesus says, why are you looking for me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He's saying, I must be about the things of my Father at this time. What time? My youth. I must be into the things of the Father in the days of my youth. What did the preacher say? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Church, we've missed the mark with young people. We have services and we send young people off to their rooms while we all do the adult stuff. And then we wonder why young people leave and don't want to be here and they don't come around. It's because we've not taught them this is a welcome place for you. Here sits Jesus at 12 years old and he's asking questions and he's being answered by those who have the answers. He's given answers of his own and they're not saying, you hush, boy. They're saying, that's a pretty good thought on that, Jesus. This is a wonderful illustration in Scripture of what the relationship between the older and the younger in the church ought to be. It's a wonderful explanation by Jesus of what a young person's life in the church should be like. As he says, I must be into the things of my Father at this time. What is sad is verse 50. Because the youth knew this, but the adults were confused by what he said. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now go with me to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and just one verse here, verse number 12. As Paul the Apostle says to Timothy, whom he's mentoring in the ministry and has left to be pastor of the church, verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, don't let anybody despise your youth, but you be an example to the entire church. Boy, that's counter, isn't it? Counter to our current church culture. We say to the adults, you be an example to the young people. Paul is saying to the youth here, you be an example to the entire church, even in your youth. Now, aging Timothy here is not very possible. Certainly, we wouldn't think that he's 10, but likely he's not 60 either. I think it's okay to assume that he's in that time of rejoice with the wife of your youth. He's probably in that age group there. But the word arises here nevertheless. Youth. Paul says to Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. That hopefully puts a contrast on your thinking of youth in the church. Too often we see youth as just in waiting. Here a youth is actually deployed. He's a youth with duties. Given these things, let's consider youth in the church and specifically in our church. I can't speak to what other churches need to be doing or shouldn't be doing or whatever, and that's not helpful. But we can talk about Harpeth Baptist Church. The first point I would make to you this morning is that salvation of young people is a great opportunity. I don't say that because I don't think we feel that way. I say that almost as a reminder, just to spur us to think that way. The time between childhood and becoming an adult is a time when a young person begins to ask the biggest questions of life. If you don't think that's true, look at what our culture is doing with young people at this age and saying to them, you need to be considering these things. It's sad, the things that young people are being told you need to be considering this time when they really don't. But what's probably more sad is the church is doing just the same thing. We're saying to them, just don't worry about it. Don't bother your little. And we never put it in such words, but based off the activities that we put them into and the situations that we give them, that is really what we're saying. Your eternity is not important enough for you to be thinking about it at this time. When you are thinking about it, we'd rather you wait till you're a little older and a little more mature. No. The salvation of young people is a great opportunity. You and I need to be there as they ask the biggest questions of life with the biggest answers or the truest answers to these big questions. Youth are hungry for truth. And if the church will not answer, then we will later answer for our failure. And most evidently, we will answer for our failure with empty pews. Let me give you this statistic. Pew Research says that 95% of Christians date their conversions prior to age 25. That's big, but it gets bigger. 90% of that 95 date their conversion prior to age 18. So 95% of people who are saved in the church and profess that would say, I got saved before I was 25 years old. A lot of you in here say, well, I got saved after 20. You're in that 5%. It's rare. But then 90% of those, of that 95%, say it was before I was 18. So the majority of those who become Christians do so between childhood and age 18. Less become Christians between 18 and 25, and then even less become Christians 25 and after. So the number one point that I want to make to you this morning is the importance of youth in our church is that salvation of young people is a great, great, great opportunity. Youth must be taught by adults, not just that they sin. I think we do that sometimes. We say, well, you did bad, you need to do good. Can't do good. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. To tell a child you did bad and you need to do good is counter to Scripture. I mean, I have kids. I want them to do good all the time. But to tell them to be good is not a solution. To tell them that you are a sinner, totally depraved with a sin nature, begins to work toward a solution. I know that one preacher that I love to hear preach said he loves going up to the family in the church. I'm never going to do this, by the way. Hopefully soon Jason and Leanne will be bringing their new baby daughter to church. But he said he likes to go up to them. You know how people kind of give the baby the finger? Give the baby the finger. You know, like, so the baby will grab their finger or whatever, you know. He says, oh, look at you, you little reprobate. Never am I going to do this. I've thought it a few times. But we understand the implication. We are all born with a sin nature. Stop telling kids to be good and tell them to be saved. We are great sinners, even at a young age, in need of a great Savior, and we have that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is how we identify ourselves. So youth must be taught by adults that they are sinners in need of salvation and that that salvation only comes by faith in Christ. The second thing I want to say to you this morning is that biblical education of young people is a responsibility. Be sure that you understand the tone there. It is not a luxury. It's not a good idea. It's not something we should do as we have opportunity or time to do it. It is a responsibility. Just as if we were the nation of Israel in the wilderness, keeping the laws and the ceremonies and all of the rites, here we are, the church in 2018, and biblical education of youth is a responsibility to us. Sadly, so many churches in recent history have determined that fun, time with friends, or entertainment at church is a greater responsibility. Now, you just heard me cut up in the pulpit. I'm not anti-fun. I like having fun. I like being entertained. I like being around my friends. My best friends are at church. This is all good. But this is not the end. This is just icing on the cake. Youth need more argument. Yeah, right. Who wrote that in the notes? But they do. It's almost like we say if the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or some adult says it, then it is whether you disagree with them or not. And if you disagree, well, then you're in the wrong because you're in the wrong spirit or the wrong attitude. But what's wrong with us having a little bit of discourse that we might learn? Youth need more argument. Youth need more evidence. Youth need more Bible, more theology, more doctrine. If you'd like to build a group of superficial consumer Christians, then put a group of youth into an environment of peer culture driven by entertainment. But if you want to build a group of mature Christians, give youth instruction in doctrine. So many people turn away opportunities to volunteer to work with young people because they don't feel cool enough, they don't feel hip enough, they don't feel like they're in touch with the generation. That is not what youth need in the church. What youth need in the church are mature Christian adults who are willing to share how they came to that maturity. Share the word. Churches that give youth instruction and doctrine notice that young people do not flee the pews as adults. They stay and learn and grow. So teach them the faith. Teach them how to defend their faith. Teach them not to run from hard questions, but to run straight on into those questions. Do we not have all the answers? Do we not have truth? Why would God's people ever run from any hard question? Teach them that the church loves dealing with hard issues because of all the people on the earth, we are the ones with the truth. Our answers must be biblical. Our answers must be thoughtful. We must come to the understanding that biblical education for youth is not a Saturday seminar, but it is a mode of life. Dr. Albert Moeller says if we run from questions, we shouldn't be surprised when young people run from the church. There was a survey that was done several years ago that indicated that the key question about whether or not young people continued in church after their early 20s is whether or not that person had a significant relationship with even one adult outside of their family in the church. If you've gone to sleep on me, if you'd wake up for 2 seconds and just hear that. Whether or not a young person stayed in the church in their 20s was dependent upon nothing more than if they had a relationship, one significant relationship, with a person in the church, an adult, outside of their family. Just one. I mean, like, you knew their name and you sent them a birthday card. Just, you know, they knew you knew them. And in their early 20s, they kept going to church. Have y'all been to Lifeway lately? There's 75,000 books about this. But the statistics are easy. Get to know them. Ask them their name. Tell them your name. How many youth in our church do you adults have a relationship with? Do you care about them? Do you care about their soul? Do you care about their Christian development? I know that you do, but have you ever told them that? Do you pray for them? Have you ever even told them their name? Have you ever even asked them their name? We have this all backwards. We think that if they make friends at church, then they will stick around. You know, friends their own age. In reality, if they find just one adult who can edify them in truth on a personal level, they will never consider leaving the church to start with. Why don't you go to church? We say to the 25-year-old, I don't feel comfortable there. Have you ever heard that? Nobody down there likes me. Everybody down there is old. Why are these the things that we're hearing? Because the people that don't like them, the people that don't know them, the people who are old didn't take the initiative to get to know them. Why did you not take the initiative to get to know them? Because you're just as chicken as they are. Amen? You know you are. You're not comfortable anymore. I never was even comfortable in high school, much less now as an adult trying to talk to high schoolers. But you got to fake it sometimes. The importance of youth in the church. The salvation of young people is a great opportunity. The biblical education of young people is a responsibility. And then finally, the deployment of youth is an urgency. And now that I've said that aloud, it almost sounds like we're talking about the military draft here. This is not the idea at all. So long as we treat youth as spectators, our model will fail. It will not continue. Can you imagine if young David would have just remained a spectator against Goliath? If he showed up there to feed his brothers, and that's exactly what they wanted him to do, by the way. The adults wanted him to hush, go on over there somewhere. You imagine if David was fine with that? Like in their culture, he just said, dude, this is not my place. Somebody else will do this. I'm just going to go over here and watch because I do want to see this fight, but it's not my fight. That's not what he thought at all. David said, I'm an Israelite. I'm a servant of the one true God. This Philistine is not going to stand up against my people, against my country, against my God, and mock us. And if nobody else will stand, then I'll stand. We glory in those in church history who've been that one who would stand when nobody else would stand. And we say, Lord, send us more people like that. Well, I think they've filled our church pews, but we said, all right, now it's time for you to go downstairs and watch a TV while we all, you know, let's go do VeggieTales while we all have church. This is not how David was treated at all. David was treated like Jesus was treated in Luke chapter number 2. He asked questions and they gave him answers. And when he gave answers of his own at 12 years old, they said, that's pretty good, man. A youth. Though David was a youth, he got involved and God used him mightily. Youth who are deployed into Christ's work, who are deployed into ministry, will be surrounded by mature Christian adults and will become those same mature Christian adults themselves. Then they will grow up and be able themselves to develop other mature Christians within the church. This is the importance of youth in the church. If we worship youth, which a lot of churches do, by the way, we will never produce adult Christians. What does that look like in the church? That looks like the same as it does in the home. You can always see a parent and child where the child is being worshipped more than they're being raised. But the child's being worshipped more than they're being disciplined and reared. You know, I always use this illustration, but it makes the point without offending anybody besides dentists. But who cares about dentists' feelings anyways to start with? But kids don't want to go to the dentist, but you don't want their teeth to fall out of their head, so you force them, you make them go to the dentist. And thankfully, for kids, dentists have gotten TV screens and movies and all this kind of stuff. Last time my kids were at the dentist, they won't let the parents go to the back, but they take all of my boys at the same time. I don't know what they're thinking. But after about 5 minutes, I heard giggling. I mean, just, I went to the dentist. What's going on back there? Can I come too? I want to play. My dentist doesn't sound like that at all. Mine says, zzz, zzz, zzz. Yes. Ah! But we make them go. Kids don't want to go to school. Amen, kids? We don't need no education. No, okay. Not at church. School is out for... All right, I'll stop. If we worship youth, we will never produce adult Christians. If we reject youth, which is what many churches do, I cannot stand it when a church puts a fence around their property, when they put up a sign that says no skateboards, no balls, no this, no, 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 no. You're just painting a picture to the community. We don't want you here, especially you kids who tear stuff up. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to just go ahead. I've already given you the Songs to Two Rock songs in the middle of my sermon. Something that really got under my skin when I first came here. Wasn't a member of the church. That saves me here. I'm safe saying this. But a very older gentleman came to me and he said, them kids playing basketball back there are ruining the air conditioners. They're hitting the ball with the air conditioners. It's bending the grates back there, whatever. And I said, let me put a fence around the air conditioner. Need to get rid of that basketball goal. And I said, no, we don't. We're not getting rid of the basketball goal. In fact, we have two now. We got full court back there. It's great. If we reject the youth, we forfeit our future. If we disrespect youth, we ourselves, adults, will reap disrespect. How many times have you heard an older person say about a young person, I just can't stand how disrespectful this generation is. Do you know why they are so disrespectful? Because you have disrespected them. Children do nothing but mirror what they see in the adults. You just don't see it until they do it back to you. So let's respond today by asking God to enable us to see and act upon the importance of youth in the church. To be Christian adults who strive for the salvation of young people and then disciple them by teaching sound doctrine to them. And then let's follow that by us allowing even the youth to be deployed in fulfilling Christian ministry. Would you stand and pray with me? Father, we are not worthy to be blessed as we have here at Harbeth Baptist Church with the great group of young people that we have. Lord, help us to see the importance of the youth in the church. Help us to see the importance of their salvation at a young age. Help us to see the importance of a biblical education for them. Help us to see the importance of us spurring them to get involved in Christian ministry early on. This we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.